DW.
Battling through the London Underground at rush hour, I head for the relatively peaceful confines of the British Library to meet freelance writer Jenny Stallard. With more and more print publications folding and journalists finding themselves out of work, Stallard, who's now in her 40s, decided to jump before she was pushed by taking voluntary redundancy from the well-known magazine where she was working until 2018.
In the beginning, if I'm really honest, I think it was difficult, and I don't think I would have left that job to go freelance. But yeah, that said, I think there are parts of staff jobs that I think when we're in them, we don't realise that they are damaging to our mental health. That sometimes you might have a workmate, a colleague or a boss who actually is really damaging to your mental health.
At first, Stallard was thrilled to escape the stifling office environment. But she soon found that the pressures of isolation caused by working from home, combined with the feast and famine cycle of freelance life, were affecting her mental health.
I was feeling quite depressed, and I often found I sort of sit at my desk about four-ish. I started crying, and it was regular enough that I suddenly thought, I'm really not happy. I never actually worked from home a lot the first time. I didn't have that element of isolation of being at home. I was always in an office of some sort. So yes, it's changed dramatically now in that I spend a lot more of my time working remotely, which is, I think, for a lot of people, where the loneliness comes in as well, because there's a lot of co-working spaces, but I think everyone sits in them working solitary.
Desperately seeking a way to break out of her loneliness and to interact with other freelancers, not just writers, but in all fields of work, she launched her blog, Freelance Feels, back in April, which discusses the problems of working at home.
It's something that comes up every single person that I've interviewed generally, at least a third of the way through, that the conversation turns to financial things and money and how money makes us feel, how earning the right amount of money makes us feel, how we're challenged by being paid on time, with the reassurance that comes mentally and emotionally from knowing you've got money in the bank. Money is almost like this baseline for your emotional health, I think. There's a sense of shame around A, how much you might be earning, and B, not getting that money on time. And everyone has rent or a mortgage to pay. And then you start to worry, so you start to panic pitch, or you start to do pieces of work that you might not fit with your values and might be damaging to your mental health as a piece of work because you don't like the client, but you're so desperate to try and fill the coffers.
David Selves, who owns a pub and several hotels in the city, feels that the main problem veiling mental health issues is the stigma that's still attached to revealing that you have a problem. Faced with increasing mental health issues amongst his employees, the 70-year-old decided to do a phone-in show about mental health in the workplace for his local radio station.
The first step is to face it, and there's no shame in it. If you break your leg, you probably, as soon as you can hobble, go down the pub, have a good laugh with everybody and see how many signatures you can get on your cask. It's a badge of honour. I broke my leg. And that, is, Heidi, is the very first big battle to get people talking, to get people acknowledging, to get people not feeling ashamed.
On the other side of London, in the offices of the Mental Health Foundation, Chris Sullivan explains the specific problems that cause stress at work.
Three of the major factors that determine our likelihood of developing mental health problems in the workplace relate to imbalanced job design, so things like atypical working hours, lack of control, an effort-reward imbalance where the work we put in is not recompensed adequately, or the demands of the job. Lack of value and respect in the workplace also came out very highly, and this is where relationships at work are so critical. We see things like conflict and bullying. We see things like the differences in rights that people have when they're on temporary contracts versus permanent contracts.
Sullivan says the rise of digital technology has certainly affected mental health workplace issues.
The idea of an always-on culture is quite appealing for many businesses, but it's hard for us to switch off and get rest and recovery and sleep, two things that are extremely associated with our mental health. This can be even harder when we work internationally, and increasingly, particularly in office environments in the knowledge-based economy, people work internationally such that our working hours are extended to accommodate the relationships we have with people in other countries.
According to the Mental Health Foundation, it's estimated that 3 in 10 employees in the UK will experience a mental health problem in any one year. Whilst on the world stage, the World Health Organization cites depression as one of the leading causes of workplace disability. Sullivan says that there are certain jobs where workers are more at risk of developing mental health issues.
Most jobs have psychological hazards, and some of the areas which are at the vanguard of mental health work now are in things like construction and hospitality, where traditionally mental health programs haven't reached. And for example, we've seen the risk of suicide in the construction industry particularly high, partly to do with the nature of the work, partly to do with the fact that people are often away from home. Ultimately, what we're looking for is dignity at work and compassionate responses to challenges that people may face.
With job absence caused by depression and anxiety costing an estimated $1 trillion per year to the global economy and lost productivity, according to the WHO, it seems that dealing with issues of mental health in the workplace, here in the UK or worldwide, is not just a question of compassion. It makes sound financial sense too. Heidi Fullerlove, DW, London.
DW.